We're back with more of the John Murphy Show on Buffalo Bills Radio.
Well, if you've been paying attention to our website, buffalobills.com, this week, you'll see that we are celebrating the Bills' decade of the 90s. A lot of good memories there. And if you're paying attention to the NFL Network, you follow the NFL Network, you know that this is Decades Month, and this week is the decade of the 90s on NFL Network. Joining us on the line right now, he is an NFL Network host. He is the host of the Red Zone on NFL every Sunday during the regular season. Scott Hansen joins us live. Scott, thank you very much for being on the show with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
You got it, John. Good to be with you.
Right. I want to talk about the Decades Month and the decade of the 90s, but I told you a minute ago, I am such a fan of what you do on NFL Red Zone. That's some big-time broadcasting there, and you guys do a great job.
Yeah, man. 7 hours every Sunday, no commercials, every touchdown from every game, every key moment from every game. It's a heck of a – it's heavy lifting from the broadcast side of things, but when you hear from fans and from people like yourself, people in the industry that absolutely love it and get their comprehensive look at the NFL every Sunday from it, it makes it worthwhile every week.
Do you feel like a juggler when you're doing that show, Scott? I mean, you have a lot of balls in the air there, buddy.
Yeah, you ever see like the halftime acts at like an NBA game where the guy comes and spins the plates on pencils, and he's got 12 of them going at the same time. Yeah, I feel a little bit like that, maybe a little bit like an air traffic controller when you've got four planes coming in from New York and three planes taking off to Boston, and you're pushing metal all over the runways. Whatever analogy you look at it. Actually, the one that I like to say is this. We feel like, myself and the staff, feel like we're the guy in the action movie who's running across a bridge that's collapsing behind him. You know, you've seen that Indiana Jones style or whatever. Because if you stop for one moment and look around and think too much, you might as well forget about it for the rest of the day. Because when we're moving, it's just one thing after another, and you got to ride the wave.
It's great stuff. NFL Red Zone. Scott Hansen is the host of that. He's an NFL Network host. You can see him this week on NFL Total Access at 8 p.m. Eastern. This week is 90s week on NFL Network, part of the Decades Month on NFL Network. Scott, what's the concept of Decades Month?
You know, just looking back at the nostalgia from, you know, depending on how old you are, you go back one decade or a couple decades, or if you're a younger football fan, you look back on things that your dad or your granddad told you about. It's, oh, this was the moment, or this was a team, or this was the season, or this was a play that happened. And we obviously have the full vault of NFL films footage that we can show, so we pick a decade and go through it and show you all the best moments, and 90s happens to be probably why I'm on the air with you right now.
Yeah, because the decade of the 90s was, for the most part, very memorable for the Buffalo Bills. Talk about the, if you can, Scott, the role that the Bills played in NFL history during the decade of the 90s.
Well, yeah, you can't, you know, it's, there are two teams, well, probably three teams that you talk about. You talk about the Niners towards the beginning of the decade. You talk about, obviously, the Cowboys. And you have to talk about the Buffalo Bills. They are, depending on what your perspective is, they are either the tragic figure from, like, a Greek novel or something like that, or they are a team now with a little bit of distance behind it. From then until now, that you can say achieve something that we may never see again. Four straight Super Bowls. I mean, you can't. It's almost impossible to get to back-to-back Super Bowls these days, let alone four in a row with the nucleus of that team, with about three or four, maybe even like five different guys on that team that were the best at their position at some point during that four Super Bowl run. Just absolutely remarkable.
Scott, when you think of the election to the Hall of Fame of many of the Buffalo Bills from that roster, history has been kind to the Bills. Don't you agree, even though they never won a championship in that era?
Yeah. You know, it's back when it was happening, I actually went to Syracuse University, mm-hmm. and I graduated in 93, so I was in New York State. I mean, obviously, it's a national story, of course, the NFL, but, you know, it felt much more, I felt closer to it being a student right in that area, just what, you know, a couple hours down the road. When it was happening, it felt like it was crushing. It was time and time again pushing the boulder up the mountain, and it would just fall back down on top of you before you could finally reach the crest. Well, with distance behind us now, I do think history has been kind, and people recognize the brilliance of Bruce Smith, the brilliance of Andre Reed, of Jim Kelly, of Thurman Thomas, as guys who unfortunately can't be called Super Bowl champions, but were absolute champions in their own right. And as I mentioned before, the best at their position at some point or another during their careers and during that four Super Bowl run.
You know, when you think about the Bills in that era, in the decade of the 90s also, Scott, they have the distinction of playing in, I think, two of the signature dramatic finishing games in that decade. They almost bookend the decade when you think about the Super Bowl 25, Scott Norwood's miss, and then, of course, the loss at Tennessee, home run throwback.
Yep, absolutely. And you look at those two moments, and you know, I'm sure your audience is even still shaking their heads right now. Sandwiched in between, though, were some of the glorious times and some things that we will never see again, and things that Buffalo fans will celebrate for generations, namely one of them that's going to be shown on NFL Network Saturday at 12:30 Eastern, the 92 AFC wildcard game, the comeback against the Oilers, which, you know, funny story, I grew up in Michigan, and so, you know, it's an AFC wildcard game, so people across the country are watching it. My family, particularly my dad, who was the biggest sports fan in the house growing up, stopped watching the game, right? He's just like, you know, we were buckled in. We had, you know, whatever pizzas and whatever wings and stuff like that we were going to be eating during the game. And this game, I can't even watch it anymore when it hit, 35-3 at the start of the second half, or early in the second half. And, you know, I was a younger kid, and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to kind of peek and, you know, hang around. My dad went out, and he was doing chores outside or something, you know. And I said, Dad, it's 35-10. Okay. Dad, it's 35-17. Dad, it's somewhere in the 20s, he decided to start coming back in and watching it. And by the fourth quarter of that game, everyone in my family had circled around the TV and were just awestruck about what we saw. And for fans that don't have that on DVR or want to get it on DVR, again, NFL Network, Saturday at 12:30 Eastern time, you're going to see the comeback game.
Scott Hansen, our guest, NFL Network host. This week is 90s week on the NFL Network. I came across this stat. Actually, I saw this on the network this week, Scott. A football historian talked about the offensive explosion in that decade in the NFL. I never realized this. After the Giants won Super Bowl 25 in 1990, the next nine Super Bowl champions in that decade finished in the top three in scoring every year. I mean, things really opened up offensively in the league in the 90s, apparently.
You know, that's a great observation, and I actually didn't know that statistic till you said it right there. Look at what teams are trying to do now, and this is permeated through high school football, college football, and certainly now in the pros. They're trying to what? Speed up the game. Trying to keep the defense off balance. Trying to keep particular defenders off the field. That really originated with the K-gun.
Yeah.
With the K-gun, we used to call it the muddle huddle. I don't know how you guys referred to it, where it was, you know, almost a huddleless offense, where if you tried to run on that short yardage specialist defensive tackle or whatever, they were going to snap the football. You were going to get 12 men on the field. If you tried to run the nickel back on or a dime back on to try and load up against the pass, he was going to snap the football, and you were going to get a run down your throat for 8 to 10 yards with Thurman Thomas. That offense and the way that it approached things was part of that change in the NFL, where the Bills were scoring. The Bills were over 30 points a game for a good chunk of that run that they had. And now you look at modern NFL, certainly in college, where they're trying to run a snap every 12 seconds, 15 seconds, but with Chip Kelly now coming to the NFL, trying to speed everything up, a lot of that had its origins back in Buffalo and back with the K-Gun offense.
Scott, there were very many good teams in that decade. The Bills, we've talked about, the Packers, the 49ers, but with three Super Bowl champions, were the Cowboys the team of the 90s? And in fact, were they?
Yeah, pretty much have to be considered that because you had top shelf Hall of Fame players on that team, on offense and on defense, and you had dominant performances where the NFC seemed to be so top-heavy back then that people would say, oh, the de facto Super Bowl was when the Cowboys would play the 49ers and whoever came out of there was just going to go through the Super Bowl and win. And, of course, the Cowboys, with their dominant wins, particularly well over the Bills in those two, just seemed to be such powerhouse teams, and they were America's team to begin with, and all the extra attention that comes with being the Dallas Cowboys, that they would have to be, in my opinion, named the team of the decade.
Scott, I'm looking at the Pro Football Hall of Fame's list of the team of the decades, the 1990s decades. The quarterbacks, they have two of them, Elway and Brett Favre. And they leave off guys like Kelly and Aikman and others. What do you think? Who's the best quarterback of the 90s, you think?
Yeah, oh, man, that's a tough one.
There's some good ones.
Right? Where do you go? Kelly had all the numbers, right? Favre had the wow moments. Elway had probably the best or biggest arm of all of them. And Aikman came away with the rings at the end of that arm. Mm-hmm. So you could make a case for any single guy there. Man, that's a tough one. I want to lean towards Aikman because of the rings, but then you have to look back and say, no, it was a team performance. He doesn't get there without three perennial Pro Bowlers on that offensive line and without a Hall of Fame all-time great in the backfield and without Michael Irvin out wide and Jay Novacek there. How good of a quarterback was Aikman? How much could he be how much would he be looked at as that? Steve Young, I don't think we mentioned his name either.
Yeah.
Played some of his best football through the decade of the 90s as well. So, Favre was really in. I mean, Favre gets looked at now because of the longevity, because he holds so many of the career records, and he did that through the 2000s as well. So, man, it would be so easy to say if Jim Kelly had broken through and had two rings or one ring out of that four Super Bowl run, you could probably look at him and say, you know what, I think Jim Kelly was the best.
Yeah.
And but unfortunately it didn't happen for him, so I would probably lean towards Favre maybe putting up the numbers that he did in the 90s or Aikman with the rings.
We talked about the offensive explosion in the 90s, and the decade was capped off by the greatest show on turf, the St. Louis Rams, whose offense that year was as good as anybody that we've ever seen in the league, really.
Yeah, and of course now, the old-timers lament that, this is not your father's, this is not your grandfather's football that's being played today in the NFL, because guys like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees can go out and fillet defenses that have, in some people's mind, been stripped of their teeth, with contact rules being what they are, with pass interference being called the way that it is. But that greatest show on turf team was something that was just untouchable, certainly through that magical run that they had in Kurt Warner's first year in stepping in, where he comes obviously from stocking shelves at a grocery store to be in the league MVP and scoring almost, high 30s a game that they were scoring on the way to a championship. It was a heck of a decade, man. I haven't talked about the 90s in a long time, but this is one of the reasons why we do this, and especially in the month of June, where there's not a ton of activity that we can pass along to the fans in terms of player movement or the team development is much more behind closed doors in today's NFL. It's a good time to get nostalgic, and we hope you join us here on NFL Network for that.
We absolutely will. I have one question about the current decade, and actually it's been almost a decade and a half since the Buffalo Bills have been in the playoffs. Do you have any thoughts on the Bills' prospects this year, Scott?
Yeah, you know what? The two teams with the longest drought right now, I believe, are, it's the Buffalo Bills and I think the Detroit Lions as well. Well, the Detroit Lions, of course, are one of the original teams that have never even been to a Super Bowl. The Buffalo Bills, you've got to find the most important position on the field. And is E.J. Manuel that guy? I don't know. You guys know that team better than I do. And I'm not sure you guys know. I'm not so sure. I'm not sure the guys coaching the team on the sidelines necessarily know. This will be a huge year for him. He's got to stay healthy, obviously, the whole year. Figure that out. Figure out the most important position on the field. And that defense is going to be able to do some things for you. Kiko Alonso, man, what a fantastic talent he has turned out to be. And you would just think that he only gets better from here. The defensive line, you have three of the better or best defensive linemen in the game. So the defense, I think, will be there. You're still in a really, really tough division, or at least a division where it has a king that everyone, an emperor that everyone's continually trying to knock off in the New England Patriots. But figure out the quarterback position. Throw some deep balls now to your new shiny wide receiver, and we'll see what happens, man. It should be a fun year in Buffalo.
It absolutely should. Scott, I don't know how they can make you work in the month of June when you work so hard during the season on NFL Red Zone. Something's not right there. Really, keep up the great work on NFL Red Zone. We'll look for you tonight on NFL Total Access. Thank you very much for doing this.
John, good talking with you, buddy.
Scott Hansen, NFL Network host. You can see him on NFL Total Access this week, 8 o'clock. It's 90s week on the NFL Network. And as Scott said, this Saturday, 12:30 in the afternoon, NFL Network will re-air the big comeback game, the Bills' 1992 AFC wildcard game, the victory against the Oilers, this Saturday afternoon at 12:30. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.